Before we begin, I would like to promote our new Patreon, patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, where you can go and support this podcast by donating anywhere between $1 and $15 a month in exchange for a reward. There's no too little a donation. We appreciate every bit we get. And check out more info at patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Now let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
Hi, and welcome to Bitter Brown Fams. I am your host, Ruben, but you might know me as Queer Chicano Chisme.
And this is Cassandra, and you might know me as Chicanisma Online.
And so, you know, this is our first episode of the month. You know, January was super long, and it was the longest January in my life, probably. And yeah, but hopefully, like, after this episode, we're gonna get on a new recording schedule so we can, like, be pumping out episodes for y'all, right, Cassandra?
That is correct, yes. Why do you have to call me out like that? Sorry, I'm so busy all the time. Not really. Kind of, yeah. It's my fault, actually. But we do want to be on a consistent recording schedule. We're making a lot of changes to the way that we do this work, so we're excited about that.
Yep, and as you probably heard in the first, like, little intro commercial, like, we started a Patreon, too. So, hopefully, y'all check that out and help us make consistent content, like, a reality.
Yes.
And so, with that said, like, how have you been?
January was really long. It's weird. But I'm excited about February because I love February. I love Valentine's Day. Got my nails done. Valentine's nails. I don't know. I think it's just like the new year, and then it's like the new year setting in for like a whole month, and then afterwards you can kind of breathe a little and like, okay, you know, got in the flow of like 2018. But I haven't really been doing much. My son is sick. Like, everyone has the flu, right? Like, all over, I don't know if it's just El Paso. I think like all over the country people are just like, the flu's really bad. So yeah, I haven't really been doing much, to be honest. I haven't, not gonna lie. I started watching The L Word because like, that there was like talk that they're remaking The L Word or bringing it back, which I am gonna watch, but just like seeing The L Word in like a different lens, right? Because like I watched it in high school, and so looking, like, watching it now is so like, wow, I really sat here and watched the show about these white bitches like for so long. Anyway, that's all I've been doing.
I remember it not being as bad as Queer as Folk. That was like a hella, like, I couldn't watch that show today. But The L Word, it seemed like it was just, I mean, it was about white people, right? But like, they weren't super horrible white people.
It's not that they were horrible, like, it was just like there were no black people when you're like,
yeah,
in LA, and then like the three or two black women and the one Latina were very, you know what I mean, like those kinds of like just like little things like that. I don't know. And then like the trans character that they had, like the way they presented, just like, yeah, it wasn't like, I don't know, I don't want to be like, it was, maybe some people probably thought it was an awful show because of that, and that's valid, you know, but like watching it now, like, I'm barely in the beginning, I have those fucking episodes are fucking long, but I do hope that with like everything that's happened since The L Word, like if they do remake it or release even one episode, that it is up to like par to like our climate and like what they should have done with the show at that time. So we'll see what they come back with.
Speaking of gay shows that are coming back or that came back, I've been actually watching Will and Grace, like the new season, and it's not horrible, but it's the same shit that like they have been producing like throughout their life, and it's just like, I still think it's funny, but it's also like, oh my god, these like liberal ass white people, like,
yeah,
shut up for a second.
It's so interesting watching things that, like, in a new frame of mind that you enjoyed back then, and you're like, wow, yeah, I can't like this, but I do.
Yeah. This is why I like Golden Girls. Like, it's not horribly problematic. It just sometimes it's just like, I can't believe they said that, but it's okay because they're old. But no, so other than that, I haven't been very busy. I've started a lot of projects, but overall, like, February is when things are going to start picking up for me. So January does mark, like, the first anniversary of, like, the Women's March, though. Did you end up going?
I did not. No, I didn't. I went last year, not necessarily for the Women's March. I went because we were doing a petition and I was like getting signatures at the petition.
Yeah.
And I had to sit by the stage and hear all the liberal bullshit people were saying, and it was the worst. It was raining too. It was just like the worst time.
It rained in the Bay too.
But this year it just doesn't interest me, to be honest. I don't care about it at all.
Yeah. Last year, actually, I went to 2 women's marches.
Wow.
Yeah. I went to the one in Oakland and the one in San Francisco, and it was the same shit. Like, I don't know what I expected, TBH. I don't know what I expected, and I didn't have the language to explain why I was so uncomfortable in these marches, right? Mm-hmm. Until I came home at the end of the day and different people were like writing about their experiences, right? I remember Sydney Rain, she goes by Sydney Rain on Twitter, wrote about how, like, you know, they are a Native American woman, an Indigenous woman, and they felt really exoticized by white women at the march, right? And how there was never like honoring of the land or asking for permission to be on the land or even like acknowledging that they were like on, you know, colonized land, right? Stolen land. And one of my good friends, Jamie Grace Alexander, she wrote about like pussy hats and how like they exclude trans women and, you know, non-white women and, you know, even more specifically, like, trans women of color, right? Because of the implications of the pussy hat, right? It's, like, pink, you know, which is supposed to, like, be a call to women's vaginas, right? Cis women's vaginas. And I remember seeing that hat everywhere and, like, not... I'm just like, this hat is weird. Like, I don't... And it didn't, like... one click. Like, I didn't... Yeah.
I didn't know what it was either. I was like, what?
I thought it was like, I didn't really know what it was. I was like, what does this mean? why is everyone wearing this weird mop on their head?
Yeah, that was weird. But the thing is, like you said, it was a year, like the year anniversary, and all that shit was terrible and problematic last year, but it was like people called it out, you know, people like all the people that you mentioned, there was articles written, you know, it was like a year. And then what did we see again this year? Like the first thing that I had shared about the Women's March was someone had put one of those pussy hat things on a statue of Harriet Tubman, which I was like, this is what we're doing right now. This is like the first thing I see coming out of the Women's March a year later, a year after there was all these articles and talks and conversations about why that, like, not to do that. And so I posted it on Chicanisma. And I mentioned this on Chicanisma. Like, I lost like 400, maybe 600 followers. And I know I was telling you about it, and it's just, that has never happened to me. No one has ever unfollowed me.
no one has ever unfollowed the great Chicanisma.
No, like, in that many numbers, like, it was wild to me. Like, I was just like, wow, like, this many people are, like, unfollowing me right now. Like, and I wasn't like, oh my god, I'm so sad they're unfollowing me. It was just like, really? This is what you're unfollowing me? Like, it was just wild to me. And I posted, like, 2 or 3 things about the Women's March, you know, about how it does exclude trans women, and not only excludes them, but it's also violent. Like, I posted a photo of, like, this woman who had, like, a very terrible sign that was so transphobic and just wearing the damn pussy hat, all happy. And people are still like, I don't understand that there's this correlation that you're, I don't see it. What are you talking about? You know, and I'm just like trying to post like why it's fucked up. And people just like, you know, they just want to act like they don't know what I'm talking about. Or like, or I think also maybe, you know, because people do this all the time. Like if I critique the Women's March and you went to the Women's March, you're like, wow, you're attacking me because I went. Oh, yeah. And I'm Latina. And I'm just like, nah, it's not even about if you went or not. It's like, if you went, like, that's awesome. And I hope that you went and you took this, like, badass sign and you marched and you felt empowered, you know? But if you're wearing a fucking pussy hat or even if you weren't wearing a pussy hat, but you're still, like, feel some way attacked and don't want to listen to trans women or women of color or black women, like, that is where the problem lies. It's not, like, that you went to the damn march, you know, or that you want to go or continue to go. Like, that is not the problem at all. But, you know, people love to, like, miss everything that I say, so.
Or, like, project.
Or project, yeah.
I remember, yeah, I posted about it, too. I've posted a lot about it.
Where people, like, you are a man, so you cannot comment on this.
There was a lot. Like, last year, I had to, like, I was dealing with TERFs, trans-exclusionary, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, radical feminists. Those are the ones,
yeah.
For, like, weeks. Because I posted one of, I had a lot of popular posts around that time. But one of my most popular ones is, like, I can't believe it's 2017 and we still have to remind people that not all women have vaginas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was all these people, like, trying to, they're like, I can't believe, like, this snowflake, like, you know, doesn't know basic anatomy or whatever. And I'm just like, get out of here with your transphobia, trans antagonism, right? Mm-hmm. And there was also, I shared my friend's essay on, like, the problem with pussy hats, right? And people were, and yeah, this one person was like, oh, I don't want to hear this coming from a man. And I'm just like, this is actually a trans woman's words that, like, I relate to you, right? Because sometimes when there's, like, when there's articles written from a perspective that is not my own, I'll just quote it without, you know, adding anything, right? Mm-hmm. Because I don't, like, I have nothing to say, like, it's not, but I do want to uplift narratives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was just a whole bunch of that. There was just a whole bunch of deflecting and, like, victimization on people's part. Like you said, like, oh, I went to the, are you calling me a horrible person because I went to the Women's March? And I'm like, no, bitch, I went to two. Like, if you're bad, like, I'm twice as bad, right? But it's also exploring, like these motives, right? Another big thing that happened and that I saw that still bothers, like, it bothers me. Because people keep calling, oh, the Women's March is, like, the greatest, like, one of the biggest civil demonstrations in, like, U.S. history, right? But it's also, like, it's also one of the most, like, policed, you know, demonstrations. Like, there's the most, I've never seen as much police in a demonstration as I have seen with the Women's March, right? I remember, like, you know, women and like, you know, other folks, like, high-fiving cops and hugging cops and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, It's not a protest if we're, like, out here hugging cops and shit, right? Like, that's completely, like, anti-revolutionary, right? Like, cops are not punk. They're not progressive.
Yeah, and it's like, and why is there so much police presence to begin with? And it's because it's a movement that centers white women, and they need to be protected. And so, like, if this was a march that was just, like, solely black women, brown women, like, it wouldn't feel like some, like, we'd be like, oh, hey, cops, let's hug it. I mean, I would not to begin with, but it wouldn't feel like that kind of, like, environment, right? It would feel like, oh, shit, like, anything that we do, like, we're going to get arrested, we're going to get harassed. And then, like, some of the comments that, like, one of the comments about the Harriet Tubman statue, I don't know if it's true or not, but someone commented, like, I saw the person who put this up and they were black. This is what some white guy said, so I don't know how valid. I'm like, sure, Scott. But even if that was true, like, I was like, even if that, like, if it was a black woman who put that up, right? Like, that does not make it less, like, the pussy hat does not, that does not excuse the pussy hat thing. Or someone else had said that the, I guess, like, the women who created the Women's March, that they're not white. And I was like, why are you, like, it was just, like, every excuse to be, like, oh, well, this, like, to, like, dodge any kind of, like, accountability or to even, like, just think about, like, what is being said. I think my favorite comment, I'm pretty sure it was from a white woman, was like, well, then go. If you want to be represented, then why don't you go and march? I'm like, wow, that's all I got to do? That's all I got to do?
Damn. Show up and be represented.
Yeah, guess I got to do that next year.
Yeah. And then, like, to me, it just is also, like, a stark contrast between, like, you know, the Women's March and, like, J20 protests, right? Like currently, I think there was something, like, upwards of, like, 140 folks who were, like, fighting, you know, they were going to court because, you know, the government wanted to send them to jail for, like, inciting a riot on the day of inauguration, right? And it's, like, this is what civil unrest and, like, a civil disobedience and, like, a demonstration looks like, right? When the government wants to shut you down, that means that you're actually doing something that's going to lead to progress, right? Whereas, you know, this women's protest that's like, you got all the, you got Arab, you got Republicans showing up and showing support. And it's like, that's antithetical, right? It's like, that's completely like the opposite of progress, right? When, you know, conservatives support your fucking movement. What does that say about your movement? And so again, with that said, like, I think this year, one of the only posts I did make that was for my own words was telling people, like, okay, you went to this women's march, and that's great, like, whatever. But, like, what are we going to do from here, right? How are you going to show up for, you know, women of color and black women and trans women, you know, disabled women, you know, indigenous women, and so on, right? Like, how are you actually going to show up, right? How are you going to make sure that this doesn't just end up some performative thing you do once a year, right? it's March. It's January 21st. Let's go out and, you know, put on our pussy hat, right? Like, don't throw away your newfound activist spirit along with your pussy hat, right?
So, yeah, and I agree. And also, people don't want to hear that either. Because, like, we go back to, like, the Women's March last year and how there were so many people there. And I wonder how many of those people actually went and did something in their community or donated to black people or, you know... Like, what, did you just go to the march and then, like, that's it? And then there's another march and you're like, oh, time to bring out my pussy hat, you know? and again, it's like, it's not just like, what are you doing? You know, we did talk about community organizing and all of that. And if you didn't listen to our last episode, you can go and listen to that before you start feeling attacked about what we just said.
And so on the topic of, like, performative, like, activism. Performative.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
We
don't acknowledge the English language here.
We don't. We're decolonized.
Yeah.
We're Aslant exiles.
Performative, okay. Yeah. So it's very performative, as a lot of people's quote-unquote activism is. But one of the also most recent instances of that was the Grammys this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I did not watch the Grammys. Kesha's performance. I was like, call me when Kesha performs. And that was like the only thing I watched. And then I like kind of just like read, you know, articles and saw little clips here and there. But it was obviously also like did not really include women at all. And the whole, like, one of the, I think the biggest things was, like, to me was, like, Kesha performing in front of people who have worked with abusers. Not just abusers, but her abuser. Yeah. And then people, like, oh, Kesha, so powerful, so moving. I think even Sony Music, like, retweeted, like, her performance. And I'm like, really, Sony Music? That's what you're doing right now? I'm like, wow, you and, all, like, really?
Yeah, okay. In case you're not familiar with, like, why that was weird, is because, like, Sony Music kept her in a contract with her abuser, Dr. Luke, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's weird that they're now trying to capitalize on her success, right, as a survivor, but at the same time, you know, provided and made that situation, right, what it was, right? They made it so that she couldn't leave her abuser, and so she was stuck in that nightmare, right? And so I watched clips here and there. Like, I watched Rihanna's performance, she did bomb. I watched Kesha's performance. It was just a lot. It was a lot to watch her be so vulnerable and then lose and have the Academy, like, you know, capitalize on her pain, right?
Yes, and that's what it was. They capitalized on her pain and didn't even have the decency to, like, give her an award that she deserved for that song and lost to fucking Ed Sheeran.
She lost to Ed Sheeran.
And this is, like, a quote from an article on how the 2008 Grammys failed women artist by my cute friend Taylor Montague. But just to quote what she said, the show depended on Kesha and other women to provide space to talk about injustice, but didn't give them any awards for it. Only 11 of the night's 84 awards went to women.
Holy shit, that's like almost like 10%.
Yeah, and it said also that Lorde was the only woman nominated in the Album of the Year category, and she reportedly wasn't even given the opportunity to perform solo like many of the men in that same category.
Yup. And like, let me tell you about Lorde. She can perform the shit out of a stage.
I love Lorde. We love
her. I love Lorde too.
We do love her.
She's like one of 7 white women that I'm going to try to save in the race war.
So we'll make someone save her.
Yeah.
I'm like, you better save her.
I mean, people make fun of her dancing all the time because
that's
she dances
how I dance
weird.
In my room, yeah.
That's how I dance. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm a really like sucky like Latinx or what. Like, I can't really do the cumbias or all of that stuff. Like, I can do like synth pop and do like that weird ass tarantula move, which move that Lorde does.
All right.
She moves like a spider.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah, I love it. She's so like, she's weird, and I feel like it's unintentionally weird. Like, she's just like a weirdo, but you know what? Yeah. It's okay. She makes good music. I love her.
And she deserved an Academy of, no. She deserves, well, she might Grammy. Deserve an Academy Award. She deserves a Grammy. you're right. Like, a lot of this shit that fucking the Grammys and all these institutions do is just performative. It's just like, they're seeing like activism is like the wave right now, right? Because, you know, being anti-Trump, right, is the wave, and being, and all that he represents, right? He represents rape culture and racism and, you know, a whole lot of bad stuff, even more so or more blatantly than past presidents have, right? Because this is not trying to give other presidents a pass, right? They've all been, you know, indicted in the system that they so willingly play into. But
and the president of the Grammys, after like everyone kind of was upset about all these things that we're talking about, released a statement in which he pretty much said that women need to quote unquote step it up. That was like his response.
Okay, Arianna Huffington, lean in.
I'm like, okay, my dude. That's what we gotta do. That's what we gotta do. We gotta step up and we gotta show up at the women's marches.
Well, I love that's
the advice from white people. Love it.
I was about to say, Cassandra, if you don't step up to the women's march, how are you gonna see yourself represented at the Grammys? Like,
there's no way. There's no way. So speaking of like, I feel like it's like we've talked a lot about the Me Too campaign, about Time's Up, about sexual assault for like the last month, and I feel like it's going to be an ongoing conversation throughout this year too, right? Because it like took up like the last half of like the last few months of 2017, and it's still like, you know, happening. And one of the stories that was like also before all of this, probably like 3 weeks ago, was about Aziz Ansari, who is also a man who is also performative, right? Because he is seen as like a feminist. I think he said himself that he's a self-proclaimed feminist on some like, I don't know, it was Conan, doesn't matter. And he went to the, what was it? What was that award show? The Golden Globes. During the whole Time's Up thing, and he wore like the little pin, and then like 2 days or a few days later, and I'm sure like most of you have read the story, or if not, you can look it up. So a young,
like, major trigger warnings.
On sexual assault and coercion. So a young woman by the name of Grace, that was the name in the article that was given, talked about how she went on a date with Aziz Ansari, and how he pretty much pressured her into, you know, engaging in sexual things with him that she did not want to do, right? And it's like a very detailed account, and there was like text messages of like the next day when she like told him, you know, that she was uncomfortable doing those things, and he was kind of just like, oh, sorry. You know, that article, like, a lot of people were talking about it, and I think it was a very, very important article to read, because it was like, it was about pressuring someone into doing things they didn't want to. So it all ties into sexual assault, but it was like something that hadn't been put out there, right? And a lot of people were like, well, that's not assault because she should have left. Well, she should have left, or like she didn't say no. But then, first of all, these are the same things we say in every fucking situation. You know, that's just rape culture. Like, it doesn't matter if you said yes or no, or did this or didn't do that. Like, those are, like, the same things people are going to say all the time. But in this particular thing, it was just that a lot of people were just like, he is an asshole, but that's not assault. And so there was, like, a lot of women, and not just women, just a lot of people that were, like, it opened up that conversation that the majority of women that I know have all experiences. And it's including me, right? And it's like, what the fuck does that say about, like, this, like, rape culture and our society? And also the fact that a lot of women, including myself, have experienced these things but never even saw it as assault or saw it as wrong, right? It was just, like, a bad time. Because that was also what people were saying, like, oh, they just had a bad time, it was just like awkward sex, bad sex, a bad date gone wrong. Like, those were like the things that people were using to describe it, and I've myself have brushed off or wrote off a lot of those experiences that I had as like, it was just like bad, it was just awkward. And then now reflecting on that, I'm like, wow, like, it wasn't awkward, and that's not, it wasn't bad sex, it was like fucked up. And it just goes back to the question of like, it's so normalized that we think it's normal and we think it's not assault or abuse or harassment, that it's just like bad sex. Like, and that is like the state of like rape culture, like that no one can differentiate between fucking assault and like having actual bad sex, right? So
yeah. And like, although something that like it's obscured too is like power dynamics, right? Like,
definitely
something that we've talked about before is that like these older men, like, you know, prey on younger girls, because Aziz is like in his mid-30s, right? And she was like 21.
Yeah, and that was what me and you were talking about, because I know we always have these conversations before like when they happen, and that was like the first thing that I noticed, that the age difference between, I think Aziz is 34 and she at the time was 22. And so there was like two power dynamics, like the age, because I know like we've talked about this on like our episode of when we talked about older men preying on young people, particularly young girls in the music scene, whatever. But, you know, and how a lot of people are like, well, she's a legal age, or they're a legal age, so it's not illegal and we should just mind our own business. But it goes back to like, why? And especially like a celebrity. That's like, if you're a celebrity who has, I'm sure you have no problem finding someone who wants to like date you, even if it's just for money, right? Like, even if you're ugly, you're a celebrity, like, you're gonna find someone that's like willingly going to consent to like going out with you. You have more chances of that, right? Because you're a fucking celebrity. So why are all these like celebrities that are like, that are men that are older, like always end up with like 19-year-olds? Like, what, and what, you know, like yesterday Dane Cook posted like that about his 19-year-old girlfriend. And like, I'm just like, every time like news like that comes out, I'm just like, why do people think this is normal? And I'm sorry, I'm looking up how old Aziz is. I mean, not Aziz, Dane Cook, because I'm just, this girl's 19 and he is 45.
Oish.
Yeah, 45. That's a full
adult.
You're a well-known comedian. 25? You're not funny, but you're a well-known comedian. So why the fuck are you with a 19-year-old girl? Girl, not woman. Like, why? And also, who else? Kourtney Kardashian's ex-husband, Scott, is dating Sophia Richie, who is also 19. And he's, like, 35, more or less, too. And I'm, like, what? It, like, and then it's just, like, the normalization of all of this. Like, and people want to, like, those same people that won't find anything wrong with that or won't speak up on that will turn around and be like, oh, here's my pin. Time's up, bitches, you know? Like,
And it's, like, not trying to, like, rob these young girls of, like, their autonomy, not. Right?
And they are not at fault here. They are not at fault.
And it's, like, also, but also, like, looking at how, like, you know, young girls, young people are, like, taking it, like, are, you know, naivete, right? Are, that's taken advantage of, right? And a lot of the times when we have no power or we have little power, you know, such as, you know, younger women, we don't notice when we're being taken advantage of, right? And so we think sometimes that we're doing things on our own free will, right? Mm-hmm. Without noticing how people are manipulating us, right? So that's also important, right? Because I know people will be like, well, these girls, you know, they want to be involved. And I'm like, maybe, but it's a little more complicated than that. And that needs to be talked about too, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, every time I brought that up too, like, everyone wants to be like, well, the girls, like, why are they going after older men? And why are they? And I'm like, who is the adult here? Because even, mm-hmm. like, when I was, like, 19, 18, in my head, I was like, oh, I'm so cool. Like, this older guy likes me and I'm so mature. And I look back, I'm like, wow. Like, no, I wasn't. And at that time, like, I didn't have fucking standards. Like, the same. Only thing, like, that you want when you're young is, like, attention. Or, like, and that's, again, not to bash on, like, young people or, like, young girls, right? That's just, like, I was, like...
Yeah, no, when I was a little kid, like, all I wanted was, like, you know,
attention. Someone to pay attention to you and, like, value you and love you
And when they gave that to me, like, I thought, yeah, like you said, like, I thought it was hella mature and shit like that. And I'm just, like, looking back at it, I'm like, oh, no, you were really... People were, like, taking advantage of the fact that I was so naive, right? Because, you know... Yeah, just straight up, they were just taking advantage of me. And so now I'm just like, God, like, I was so naive and I didn't know, right?
Yeah, I don't know, men are just so gross. And I'm also like, one of the because there's a lot of layers to, like, why they prey on young girls, right? But I think one of the layers is that they're such trash that they know that if they get with, like, a woman their age, like, they're not going to be, like, pulling some, like, shit that they would with, like, young girls. Like, because young girls are gonna be like, hey, do you have a car? Hey, when are you going to work? Hey, holding you accountable and doing emotional labor for you, even though they might actually still, because they're still girls, right? Like, they're still helping you through some shit, probably, like, a breakup, because that happens a lot with me. Like, older men would, like, get out of a relationship, and, like, their first go-to was, like, me or, like, any other young girl, because they didn't want to deal with, like, their shit, so they're just like, I'm just going to go prey on this girl. So, anyway.
Yeah, and a lot of people also, like, brought up the fact that, you know, that, you know, Aziz Ansari, you know, is Asian, right? And they wanted to say, like, oh, they're just trying to bring down a man of color, right? Because everybody's, like, so wrapped up in representation, right? And I was just like, that is not very productive. Like, that mindset of, like, they're only attacking him because they don't want to see a successful man of color. Like, it's not, like, no, men of color, regardless of how much good they have done, right, they can also be abusers, right? And so I think that's one of the traps of representation that gets us a lot and gets us all in our feelings, is that as soon as we have someone who represents us, right, and who we like, we're very defensive of them and we fail to hold them accountable, right? And I think that's something that we have to look at critically, because representation doesn't mean anything if we're just going to keep upholding the same systems of oppression that have, you know, plagued marginalized communities for ages, right?
Yep. And that's always a big one, always, with, like, men of color. Like, they use, like, they're like, but I'm brown. Oh, no, I've been colonized, and that's why I'm trash. Please, please don't cancel me. They're just trying to bring me down. It's white supremacy. I didn't do anything wrong. Fuck out of here.
I'm, like, always so, like, in awe of, like, people who defend, like, men of color in that way of, like, oh, they're oppressed by the system, so it's not their fault. And I'm just like, what? Like, where did you dig up this shitty-ass excuse for toxic male behavior?
Remember when all that happened last year with the Chicano starter? I'll talk about that in another episode, because that's exactly, that was a hot mess.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, brown men, you're trash too. So, own your shit. Let's do better. Be better.
Yeah. I also saw, like, a collection of essays by Southeast Asian women who, like, offered, like, a racial perspective to this, right? Because I feel like also everyone that was writing about this was, like, white or, like, not Southeast Asian, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's important, right? Because when we talk about representation, we have to talk about, like, not just, like, on the big screen, but also, like, who's covering these subjects, right?
Right.
And, like, speaking of, like, representation and all that, one of the big things that is coming up is the Oscars, right? And, you know, the Oscars are, like, the Mount Everest of acting, right, and all that shit. But still, like, you know, people of color are not represented in these things, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not saying that, like, you know, we should always want, like, representation in, like, these institutions, but it's just, like, telling, right, what art is appreciated. And so, Rain of April, she goes by Rain of April on Twitter, she started this hashtag, OscarsSoWhite, a couple of years ago, to bring attention to the fact that, you know, the Oscars are fucking white as shit, right? And she did it as a way to uplift stories, narratives of color, and creators of color. But because she is a black woman, and because most of the activism that surrounded this hashtag, right, involved a lot of black creators, a lot of, like, non-black people of color got in their feelings, right? And so this year, because there was more, like, black nominees, the fucking, our fellow trash-ass non-black people of color started a hashtag, something to the effect of Oscars so white and black. And the Latinx has started another one. The National Hispanic Media Council or something like that started a hashtag Latinos left out. And I'm just like,
it's so embarrassing, right? Like, I just
can't. It is.
Like, and I don't want to be like, I don't know them, because I do fucking know them, unfortunately. Yeah. I am part of that group, whether I like it or not. And that is why we have to call this shit out ourselves, right? And this isn't the first time that non-black Latinx do this. I actually pulled up an old post from March 4, 2016. So this was 2 years ago. When Chris Rock hosted the Oscars. And, you know, I think a lot of what Chris Rock was saying was about representation and how the Oscars are so white and how there wasn't that many black actors. That was part of his, how he was hosting it, right? And so that night, and I, in my post, there's, like, tweets. The Latino voices from the Huffington Post Latino tweeted, "We want black..." Oh, no. This is what Chris Rock said. "We want black actors to get the same opportunity." And then Huffington Post said, Latino, Huffington Post Latino said, "But what about the Latinos? We want that too." Like, this was, like, not just, like... this was, like, a fucking, like... Huffington Post said that. Like, it wasn't, you know, on top of everyone else, on top of all the other non-black Latinx saying that, like, this was from, like, the actual Huffington Post. And I was like, and then that sparked, I don't know if you remember this hashtag by black activists called Not Your Mule.
Oh yeah,
on Twitter.
Yeah.
That's what sparked that. So this was like, this isn't like a new thing that we have done the Oscars so white. This is like dated back like 2 years. So it sparked Not Your Mule by black people who were pretty much using that to say, like, they're not our fucking mules. Like, there's no really in-depth about that. Like, because I think one of the things is that non-black Latinx feel that Black people owe us, that if Black people do something, we have to be a part of it, that we, and the thing is that it doesn't matter what Black organizers and activists do, like, we still benefit from their work. Like, that's the thing that people don't understand.
Without contributing,
like, the civil rights movement, anything that Black people succeed at or are successful or, like, get a win at something, even if representation, anything, like, we still get the benefits of that while being anti-Black and demanding more from them when we don't do shit, when we can't even acknowledge, like, Afro and Black Latinxes. Because also in the narrative of when Black people start a movement or a tag speaking on Black issues, that includes Black Latinxes. Like, and I'm like, I don't know, like, what other ways that we need to say, like, the same shit we always say when this happens. Like,
yeah, I remember, so I wrote a thread that became popular, and I touched on this a little bit, right? How the Latinos Left Out hashtag, like, ignores the fact that, like, Afro-Latinxes exist, right? And that, you know, the visibility of Black people also includes Black Latinxes, mm-hmm. right? And so one thing I asked is, where's the hashtag for, like, you know, to include, like, Black people, in even brown people in telenovelas, right? Like, we have this entire media conglomerate, like, industry that pretends Black people don't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Pretends indigenous people don't exist. And then somebody was like, why does every time that Latinos ask for representation, they're labeled anti-Black, right? And it's because our calls for representation are almost always a response to Black hyper-visibilization, right? Without taking into consideration that visibilization, like, whether we want to admit it or not, like, without changes to actual, like, systems, it's useless, right? The visibilization of Black people hasn't necessarily improved material conditions, right? Because along with representation, we have to talk about, like, what kind of representation, right? How are people being, you know, portrayed in media? What does this mean, right? How is this going to change public discourse, right? And so when people tell us about, when, you know, the Black community was telling us about using the hashtag not your mule, that was, like, to tell non-Black people of color, right, that, like, not only is there, are their movements always inclusive of non-Black people of color, right? Because when we think about, like, Black media, right, a lot of it does include non-Black people of color, right? Like, almost always you'll see, you know, non-Black people of POC characters, right? And not only that, but, like, even if they didn't, like, they don't owe us that work. Why can't we put in the work, right, to get representation, right? And that's the thing, is that, like, for us, it's not about, like, doing the, like, for non-Black people of color, it's about us wanting the easy way, right?
Yep.
So I remember pitching an article to a publication that should not be named, talking about how, like, I think that representation, the Latinx representation, needs to be really critical, right? And that we need to stop just settling for crumbs, right? That it has to be a representation of quality, and it has to try its best to keep, to stop gatekeeping and to instead be inclusive. And this editor messaged me back saying, oh, so you think that Latinos shouldn't want inclusivity and shouldn't fight for representation, and other groups like Asian people should just shut up? And I'm just like, what? Like, that is not what I said at all, editor, who should not be named. And so I'm just like, y'all, like, you can't hear, people can't hear a fucking critique of representation without, like, getting in their little, like non-Black Latinx feelings.
Yeah. And it's also, like, the hashtag Oscar so white, like, where the fuck do you hear, like, only Black people? What I'm saying is, like, even, like, Oscar so white, like, Latinx or any non-Black people of color could have jumped in on that tag. Because it's Oscar so white. It wasn't like, we only want Black people at the Oscars. Like,
hashtag we only.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not what it said. But people are, like, just, like, reaching all the time. And I'm also like, if you, you know, why are you trying to call out or attack, like, Black people? Why aren't you, like, what about, like, the Latinx artists that are in Hollywood that don't say shit? You know? Like, why don't you, like, speak out to them and be like, hey, why haven't you said anything about this? Because you just, like, any excuse that, like, non-Black Latinx can find to shit on Black people, like, that's what's going to happen. Go ahead.
And ultimately, it's, like, not even so much about representation, but about, like, centering, like, little mestizo and non-Black, like, Latinx, Chicanx feelings, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause we're so used to being the center of, like, attention when it comes to, like, Latinx, Chicanx media, right? Mm-hmm.
That. Yeah, so it's also, like, if there was, like, 2-5 Afro-Black Latinx that were nominated for Oscars, like, would you still be tweeting that? You would, because it's not about... Is that you know what I mean? Like, it goes back to anti-Blackness, because they still wouldn't be Latinx enough for you. You would still be like, no, well, I want, like, brown or mestizo or whatever the fuck you want to call it, right? So
I want this exact shade of brown that you see on my hand, yeah, on the screen.
Oh my god. And another thing, I guess, going back to the Grammys, but related to what we're talking about, was what's her name, Camila? I don't know, yeah, her. I really don't
Camila
know who
Cabello.
She is.
Camila Cabello. I like her.
No, I just don't know who she like is. Her. Like, I saw her.
She's a little white Cuban. She's doing her little white Cuban thing. Okay.
I know, but I don't, like, what does she do?
She dances and sings about, like, Havana, Unana.
Okay. Well, her. I think she was presenting an award at the Grammys, and she gave, like, a little speech about, you know, Dreamers. And... you know, I think that, I don't know her, but her intentions were, you know, speaking about, you know, undocumented folks, about Dreamers. And so she specifically, she said that America was built by Dreamers, more or less. That was, like, the quote that she used. And, you know, people loved it. People clapped. They were like, oh, I'm so happy that she spoke about this. You know, she used her platform, blah, blah, blah. But then, of course, there is an underlying problem with that statement, right? With, like, America was built by Dreamers for Dreamers. I think that's what she had said. And yeah, it completely erases slavery, Black people, right? Because Black people did build America off of, like, slavery. It wasn't, like, some willing part to, like, build America. And so people were critiquing that statement that she made. And there's been a lot of, you know, again, non-Black Latinx that are very upset that people are calling or addressing what she had said. And I'm trying to pull up the a popular, I guess, Latinx page. Why are you laughing? Uh-huh. A popular Latinx page posted this tweet that was tweeted by, like, someone, a Black person on Twitter. And it said, so what Camila had said is, this country was built by Dreamers for Dreamers chasing the American dream. And someone replied and said, this country was not built by Dreamers. It was built by the free labor of Black Americans who are still disrespected by white supremacists and immigrant groups who often exhibit the same anti-Black hatred. So they shared this, and there was 1,259 comments on here. I have a screenshot. And they had to delete the post because I'm assuming they got a lot of, like, traffic on it. I didn't get to read the comments. So I posted also today an article on Chicanisma about this exact thing, written by a Black person, about why that statement is wrong and how it erases slavery. And you can go and we'll share it again on Bitter Brown Femmes. But just, like, I'm just like, just take it in. Just read it. Just listen. That's all I have to say to, like, anyone and any, if you ever read anything that I post. I mean, some of them are just memes, so not talking about that. But when I'm actually talking about, like, white feminism or misogyny or sexual assault or anti-Blackness, like, just relax, like, just breathe and, like, read it and don't get angry. Like, I feel like people are so defensive about, like, hearing these things because it's, like, it forces them to, like, look into themselves and, like, acknowledge shit about themselves. And, like, yeah, it's, like, you know, it's uncomfortable, but you got to do it. So, Chicanxes, Latinxes, always doing something. Every time we record, it's like they're doing some shit.
And we're just a messy people that just refuses to accept our, like, our own shortcomings. and work on making these better, right?
I know.
And I think, yeah, when we call out public figures, right, it's because we understand their power, right? And we mm-hmm. want them to do better, right? I think a lot of people get mixed up and like, oh, all call outs are bad. And it's like, no, again, you're ignoring power dynamics, right? When you call a public figure out, that's because you want public accountability, right? They've hurt a public, right? When we call somebody in, right, that entails that you want maybe private accountability, that, that you know, there's, you understand and you have access to this person, right? And so that like needs to be addressed too, right? Like call out culture is not like one brush, right? There's, you know, hundreds of brushes with different strokes and, you know, they all have their use, right, in this work, right? And I say that because just because of certain posts I've seen going around like, oh, call out culture is bad and everyone engaging in it is horrible. And it's like, be a little more nuanced in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And also just because a lot of people are calling out Chelsea Manning right now.
Yes, right? Yes.
If you're not familiar with Chelsea Manning is a transgender woman who was incarcerated and tortured under Obama's administration for leaking information that indicted the U.S. government, right, in surveillance and violent military tactics, right? And she recently was seen like canoodling, like being really friendly with a lot of white supremacists, right? And so there's folks saying things like, oh, Chelsea Manning is now a Nazi herself, right? And not to say that she's not racist, right? Just like we're not saying that, you know, we're suddenly like not anti-black, right? We're non-black people of color. She's a white woman. There's, you know, certain isms that are ingrained in us and that we have to learn how to unlearn. So, right? So I'm not saying like, oh, she's not a racist, right? Because obviously she's white, so she's racist, right? Because it's a systemic thing more than a personal feelings thing, right? Y'all feel me? Okay. So, like, I just want to make sure that, like, people aren't like, you just called Chelsea a racist or, like, you're trying to absolve yourself from your own isms. I'm like, no, it's just, like, we're just trying to, you know, make things clear. And I don't know. For me, I think we have a bit of a difference of opinion here in our how we've discussed before, but I don't think that Chelsea is like a traitor to like the left, right? I know that she's running for like Senate or whatever, and like we can talk about how electoral politics will never liberate us, and that's fine, right? Like I'm here 100% with y'all, right? I do think that Chelsea, at worst, Chelsea is being naive by thinking that she can infiltrate a group of Nazis, right, and like gather intel on them, right? Because that's what her excuse was, right? That she was hanging out with Nazis because she was trying to gather information about them, right? So I think at worst she was being naive, and at best she was like actually being a good spy or whatever.
Yeah. And after, you know, because we had this conversation, and there's a lot of different people that have different opinions and have different feelings about it, because it's all like layered to that, right? It's also like everyone's so quick to cancel people, right? Like if you fuck up, you're like canceled, and I think cancellations are valid sometimes, obviously, right? But particularly with Black women, with trans women, who, you know, like, cishet men can do, like, the worst things, and people are like, let's give him another chance. And when, like, Black women do it, trans women do it, women of color do it, it's, like, canceled, or, like, they're held to this, like, scrutiny that, like, other people are not, right? And, like, people are allowed to make mistakes and be problematic and learn, hopefully, from that, right? But I was getting at is that because Chelsea Manning is a trans woman, like, there is, like, this narrative of, like, okay, well, she's done. And I'm not saying, like, what her hanging out with Nazis is like this cool thing. And then I'm like, yeah, well, she can do whatever she wants, right? Like, I understand why people feel like some way about that, right? Especially from someone that people hold as this like amazing hero, right? Because people see Chelsea Manning as like a hero and believe in her and like support her. And then all of a sudden you see her hanging out with like the people that are enemies, right? And people are like confused by that. And I think that people can have valid feelings about that. But I also do think that, you know, when I first saw that, my first reaction wasn't like, fuck Chelsea Manning. I was just like confused. And I was kind of like waiting to see more about it, right? Because I'm like, like Chelsea Manning literally almost died. Like, she was tortured. She like went through like all of this shit, you know, to come out and like be like, just kidding, I'm like this awful person. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, right? So I think that there's a lot of layers to that, but I guess I'm still just gonna keep waiting to see if there's more from her like accounts, if there's, you know, just because like I kind of at first I was kind of like reading stuff and I did feel like, oh, maybe she is just like, because it's hard to trust white people. I'm not going to lie. Like, it is. It's like any white person. Like, you can hold like a white person up to these standards. And then like, I can't think of someone right now. But, you know, like at the end of the day, they're white. And Chelsea Manning is white. But at the same time, I'm still like, I don't think she went through like all this shit to just come out and just, and then we're all just going to believe that right away, you know, so.
Yeah, for me, it's like I've mentioned before, it's also really hard for me to cancel people, but I understand if others need to, right? Like, I understand, like, the need to remove yourself immediately from a violence, right? So, like, I know there's, you know, some trans women who are like, you know, I don't fuck with Chelsea, like, specifically trans women of color, mm-hmm. like, I don't fuck with her no more, right? Because I trusted her, and now she's bringing racism from, you know, mm-hmm. or she's, you know, being friendly with these folks. I think you mentioned she was friends with
Cassandra Fairbanks.
Yeah, who I'm not familiar with, but people have brought her up, and I'm just like, you know, they were talking about how, like, white women, like, how we can't separate Chelsea from her whiteness, right? And so she still has this luxury of being, like, loved and respected by Nazis, right? Despite her transness, right? And that's something that trans women of color don't have a luxury of, right? And so a lot of trans women of color that I've seen them being like, no, fuck her. Like, I don't fuck with her no more, right? For me, it's just like, I want to know more. And I refuse to, I don't know, part of me just like asks, like, I think this another trans white woman that I like and that I follow, who's also faced similar scrutiny, because she's also put herself in a position where she's publicly engaged with Nazis, right? She goes by ContraPoints online. Her name is Natalie, though. And she was like, as someone who has received the same type of, like, criticisms, like, what does a trans woman have to do to guarantee to y'all that we're not going to switch sides, right? How long does a trans woman have to face torture and incarceration for y'all to believe that they are not gonna, you know, go to the right? And so that's something that I'm trying to hold as well.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, those are all valid. Like, everyone's gonna feel different. Some people might not want to fuck with her. Some people are still trying to hold on to giving her the benefit of the doubt, you know, believing her. Like I had told you before, for me, like, I like Chelsea Manning, and I want to believe that she is still with, you know what I mean, that she's not like a racist or a race or a sympathizer, that she's just like, oh, these are my friends, and it's cool, right? Because Cassandra Fairbanks, she is a Trump supporter. She's just the worst. But so she's like friends with her, and that's how she ended up being in like a space with the other Nazi people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, like, for me, I'm just like, why would you even want to be around Cassandra Fair or someone like with those views that have said anti-black, transphobic, violent, that hold those views, like, that. And I think that's also valid if some people do feel like I can't fuck with her, because it's like, it's hard to like see someone that you fucked with hanging out with like people that literally want you to die.
Yeah, and I think to me it also brings up like, so something that ContraPoints has brought up is that like, even, you know, she's a white woman and she has this skill where she can talk to, you know, the alt-right, to Nazis, right? And they, because they still see her as white, they see her humanity. And mm-hmm. so sometimes she's able to have these discussions that ultimately help, like, bring, you know, the people from the alt-right, like, back into, like, reality, right? And to, mm-hmm. and, like, keep, like, to drag them out of these hateful groups, right? And so the thing that ContraPoints has said is, like, you know, if it's, like, if she has the skill, like, why not use it? Like, is it not the role of white people to confront other racists and other bigots and, like, knock some sense into them, right? So I don't know, like, but at the same time, it is difficult to see, you know, white people you trusted, like, hanging out with racists. Because I'm thinking about, like, in real life, if, you know, one of my, like, few, like, white friends were hanging out with bigots, like, how would I feel about that, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would fuck with them as hard.
Yeah, and I feel like that, like, trying to, quote-unquote, save racists from themselves and make them not racist isn't, for me, it wouldn't be, like, a good approach. Like, I guess it depends also, right? Because if you're, like, a full-blown Nazi, like, if I had a white friend and they're like, I'm going to go hang out with them to, like, try to change their mind, I'd be like, for what? Like, I highly doubt that's going to happen. Like, I'd rather you, like, use your white privilege for, like, something else. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's just a layered conversation that we're going to keep, I'm sure, talking about more things come out, you know?
Do you think that's not, like, the best use of whiteness?
With actual Nazis, like, I don't, like, if I had a white friend and there was, like, some fucking Nazi guy, like, I wouldn't be like, yeah, go talk to him. Yeah. You know? I mean, I can't stop her from, like, doing that, right? But I would, if that's all she wanted to do was kind of, like, save these white people, I'd be like, dude. Oh, I just used the word dude. I'd be like, I don't know, like, because I understand that white people need to call other white people out, like, their families and their friends. But I'm talking about actual Nazis, like people that hold these views that aren't your immediate family, that you didn't have some long childhood past with, right? That is just like some person that you're like, oh, that person's a Nazi, I'm going to go talk to them. I'm going to be like, I wouldn't necessarily think that they share the same views, but I would just be like, for what? Like, divest that energy into like something else that would be beneficial to people of color. But
yeah, I guess I'm like thinking about it too in like a under like a anti-fascist framework as well, right? Because one of the conversations that has been brought up and that even I was a little confused about too when I was first like coming into knowledge of like what anti-fascist work entailed, right? Because when I was first, you know, coming into it, I saw a lot of white anarchists, right, in the streets and, like, starting shit, right? And to me, it was like, oh, what are white people, why are they doing this shit? Like, they shouldn't be doing this, right? It should be black and brown people who get to do, like, the destruction because the system fucks them up the most, right? And then my friend went to this thing and they related to me that, like, you know, if white people are not out in the front lines fighting, right, and like, where is their actual place, right? Like, because they have a less chance of being incarcerated and persecuted by the state, shouldn't they be the ones to put their asses on the line more? And so I think that the way that relates to, like, talking to Nazis is, like, shouldn't white people be doing more work to combat Nazis directly? I don't know.
Does that make sense? I guess it's, like, how you combat it, because, like, if we're at a protest and there's Nazis, I would expect fucking white people to block them from people of color and use their bodies, yeah, and if need be, like, talk to them in that space. But I'm saying, like, going out of your way to go fucking play laser tag with a Nazi because you're like, oh, I want to talk to them about racism, I'd be like, okay.
Like, yeah, okay, for one, so go fight them, But don't play laser tag with them.
Yeah, to, like, say, like, oh, we're just talking about racism. You know, like, because at the end of the day, like, are you really, like, I, like, again, I mean, that's, like, white people's time. I just, what? I wouldn't see, like, some, like, oh, thank you so much for going to play laser tag with this Nazi and talking to them about my life and how it matters. Thank you so much.
Oh, God. Speaking of white nuts, Shakira's going to jail.
Speaking of white nuts, that was Ruben, not me. Y'all can go. All the white Latinx that heard that can go on his page to cry. Not me. I didn't say it. She's going to jail. Yeah.
Shakira. Well, you know, allegedly. She might not. I don't
know. She probably will not. She's so little.
She's 5'2".
Yeah.
Like, did you ever watch the Spice World movie, the Spice Girls movie?
Yeah.
You remember how, like they were, like, trying to find... There was, like, that skit where they were, like, trying to find, like, the person guilty for killing people, and then...
And then it was Baby Spice. Yeah.
But because she was so little, they were like, it's not her, obviously. It's going to be the same thing with Shakira. She's like... Shakira's gonna be like, I'm so petite and white and Latina.
She, like, dyes her hair, like, blonde. I don't know. Is that her natural hair color? What's her natural hair color?
Now that you bring it up, I'm not entirely sure.
Is it blonde or no?
I don't think it's... I think it's, like, brown. Because she used to dye it black with the red tips. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
But it's been blonde, too.
Yeah.
So she has to do the blonde to go to court to even get more points, you know?
Yeah. And then they're going to be like, it's okay, Shakira. You're not going to jail. And then her hips are going to be like, no, arrest her. Like, shut
up. It's also sad because it's like Aquarius season. And
oh, yeah, she can't go to jail in Aquarius season. She's an Aquarius.
She's an Aquarius. So this is like her time to shine. And this is how she's deciding to shine.
Well, maybe her big like... shining moment will be her getting out of jail for tax evasion.
Yeah, and this probably won't even go down soon, I feel. Maybe it'll be like, you know, that shit takes a long time. I haven't read the article, so I don't know how far they are on this shit. I just know you shared it, and I was like, oh, that's sad. Ruben's, like, probably sad right now.
I am. We're sisters. Me and Shakira are connected in so many ways, right? Mm-hmm. She not only was, like, is her son in Aquarius, but her moon is also in Cancer. Like myself, right? And she, like, taught me about, like, poetry. Like, I, like, really fuck with her. Like, I know I make fun of her a lot on Twitter, just because I think...
That's okay. Because
she's, like, such a, like, interesting character, right? Like, I don't recognize, like, who she is in so many ways anymore, from the way that I related to her when I was, like, 10, right? And I know people grow and blah, blah, blah. But it's just, like... So one of my most popular threads is... I wrote a whole conspiracy theory on, like, how Shakira is dead. And how she's been replaced with a white Spaniard woman. Cassandra Nova. And it's just, like, me kind of, like, playing along with the whole conspiracy theory threads that people write on Twitter. But also, like... expressing this, like, longing to want old Shakira back, right? Because that's who taught me about poetry and, like, love and, like, heartache and dancing. Yeah. She was the first, like, Spanish album that my older sister and I owned. So we weren't allowed to listen to secular music. We were only allowed to listen to, like, church music. And also, like, cumbias, and what my parents decided to play. And so when we finally got Shakira's album, we were like, wow. We would, like, get together and play it on her boombox, and I have some really good memories with her. You were talking about how, like, your only story with Shakira is, like, church-related?
Yeah. You know, my mom has, like, all these videos of, you know, like, when it's, like, the church service, and they record it, and then they sell the tapes or whatever. It wasn't here in El Paso. It was, like, some church in Mexico, and this guy, I don't even remember what was being said, but he was, like, talking about quote-unquote worldy music. That's what, you know, we called it. And how, like, certain artists were like worshiping of the devil or like anti-god, and they use Shakira as an example. And they like played it's the song from Donde Están Los Ladrones called Octavo Día. I don't know if people have heard it, but he was like breaking down the lyrics and like explaining how she's like anti-god, and I just remember like, is this really happening? You know? And I think at the time I may have believed it, you know, because when you're younger, you believe everything your parents say. I mean, to some extent, but when I was younger, I was like, oh, wow. And then it was funny because I've been also recently listening to this album, and then like that song came on and I was like, oh my God. And I was just like, Shakira's anti-God. Wow.
I mean, like, she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think in honor of Aquarius season, we should absolutely play one of the tracks off, I think, her, like, magnum opus, right? Donde Están Los Ladrones?
Absolutely. Yes. Because it is also, it's her birthday. She's going to jail. We gotta play her song.
We gotta support her, right? And I think my
Me
favorite
Bitter
track...
Brown Femme supports her. I hope Bitter you're listening Brown to Femmes... Shakira.
Yep, don't ever say we're not here for white Latinxes, right? Like
solidarity.
Solidarity with white Latinxes. They suffer too. So we're gonna
tax evasion.
TBH. You know, I support any act of anti-capitalism, and tax
Very
evasion
true.
Is what. Watch, the government's gonna use this to like hound me. Like, you said on your podcast that you support tax evasion.
Oh wow, we're just gonna have to replace you then,
TBH. So possibly after this, y'all are gonna have to find a new host for Bitter Brown Femmes, right? Yeah, okay, so we're gonna play Inevitable off of Donde Están Los Ladrones. It's like the song that had my 10-year-old ass like pretending that I knew a thing or two about heartbreak, right? And I really love it. It's like really, it's like a, it begins like as a like a weird like heartbroken ballad, and then just like goes into like this rock and roll like riff that really speaks to me, you know, to my punk rock sensibilities, right?
Yeah, I think this is like the saddest song we've played, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay. We want everyone who's listening to be sad.
Yeah.
In their car or in their room, at their desk, and just think about love and how it sucks.
Yeah.
And how you're not good enough for somebody. I'm just kidding. That's what I do.
All right. So we're going to play that now. And we hope you like this episode. We hope you share it with your friends, your family, you leave it playing for your dog while you're away and it's alone and you want something to keep it company. Like, just share us and follow us on Facebook. We've created a like page because Troll was like, you know, they took our website domain. So we're like, we can't let them squat on anything else. And so we created a Facebook page.
That is right. That is right. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, like us on Instagram. Yeah. Give us reviews on iTunes. Go check out our Patreon. We're just like everywhere. We're just taking over the internet.
Yeah, we're like Pitbull in that we're Mr. Worldwide, but gender neutral.
All right. So all have fun crying to this song. And we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
Juego mal hasta el parque, jamás uso reloj. Y para ser más franca, nadie piensa en ti como lo hago yo, aunque te dé lo mismo. Si es cuestión de confesar, nunca duermo antes de 10. Ni me baño los domingos. La verdad es que también lloro una vez al mes, sobre todo cuando hay frío. Conmigo nada es fácil, ya debes saber, me conoces bien. El cielo está cansado ya de ver la lluvia caer. Y que pasar por uno mismo. Ya sabrás la situación, aquí todo está peor, pero al menos un respiro. No tienes que decirlo.